The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. I'm here today with Chef William Thomas Pauly of Confluence Kombucha. Hello, William. How are you today?
I'm incredible. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so happy to have you, Chef Pauly. So I love having people on this show who have really inspiring health journeys that have brought them to where they are and what they do today. And when I think of stories like that, yours stands out by far. Could you share a little bit about your journey?
Absolutely. So it kind of really started a little bit late, actually, and not really intentional. I've been living with ulcers for a really long time and really hadn't found anything to suppress them, or like I changed eating habits, that kind of stuff. Didn't really dive way too deep. But I ended up living in Korea for a couple years and eating a lot of fermented foods and those kinds of things. They just had a healthier, fresher diet, just all everywhere you went. I mean, there's definitely some Western influence there, but overall, people are eating really healthy and a lot of spicy food, too, which is important. Not for everybody, obviously, but for me, it really helped. And when I came back, I felt so much better. And I started, you know, I started getting back into some habits I had had before, while also still, like, eating a little bit like I did when I was in Asia. But what happened is I had a bout with food poisoning at a Chinese restaurant.
Wow.
And so, you know, I had an ulcer that was still there that really hadn't been bothering me. But in that incident, it started to bleed. And for about 2 weeks, I kind of lived with that. And it was some of the most pain I'd ever been in. And it was similar to how I felt when I was younger, when I would eat certain foods and that kind of stuff. But then I started to notice that there was something more going on. And since I didn't have insurance, I was like, oh, I'll be able to wait this one out, right? And I couldn't. So I ended up in the ICU for 3 days. And when I left, they just gave me a bottle of pills and like a $6,000 hospital stay.
Yeah, you get a bill, some pills, and a good luck.
Yeah. And you're going to have to take these pills continuously. I was a student at the time and was really lucky to have the hospital take care of all that for me because I wasn't working. So I was really blessed in the incident, but also like was really disturbed by it. I was really scared about my health. I was like, this is something I thought was kind of like in the past for me, but came right to the surface. And in that, I started the journey that I'm on now. And it started with my friend Angelina. She was a naturopathic nutritionist. I think she went to this. I think you both went to the same school, and she told me about kombucha and kuzu root starch. Actually, too, is really good for lining your esophagus and your stomach and all that.
And what is that again?
Kuzu root starch.
Kuzu root, yeah, kuzu root. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so it's Japanese root. Really good for lining your intestinal tract and just to kind of right your system a little bit so you can like get through something. And so I started off with that, went and tried kombucha. I remember it was cosmic cranberry.
Sounds great already.
GT Dave. So you know, I chose that one because my grandma always like, she always had cranberry juice growing up, so it's like, well, I'll probably like it. And I loved it. It was like the flavor and the tartness and the effervescence, it hit all those notes for me. So I started drinking it for a year. And after 3 months, I noticed a significant change in my personality. I felt, you know, just coming out of that incident with the bleeding ulcer, I was like really stressed and all that kind of stuff. And I just noticed it set me in a new direction. About a year after that, I started thinking about, well, maybe I should start like brewing this. And that's where Confluence started. So
amazing. Yeah. And so now you have this wonderful, this place, Confluence Kombucha. I would love to just call it like a brewery or a restaurant, but really it's kind of a spiritual place I found. And I'm not kidding. Like I think I told you this, you know, the first time that I came there was with a woman who she has 3 degrees in theology and she's just very spiritual. And she's also very into food and embodiment and all kinds of different things. And she had been with her husband to Confluence and she like immediately messaged me, was like, Amanda, you have to go to this place. It's amazing. And so we went and we had a meal there. And I have to say, she was right. It was a spiritual experience. It was more than just food. It's the energy there is just amazing. It's just such a great place.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we've spent a lot of time and intention to create a place where people can come and feel comfortable eating really well and also feeling like they're having an elevated experience. I mean, you know, food is that for people. And that's what we're really trying to share is that like, your food is, it can be everything, you know, and not just this thing that I have to do. Like we're taking really simple ingredients and making them
extraordinary.
Thank you.
I would call it extraordinary. As a matter of fact, I did. I immediately went on Facebook afterwards and was like, everything was extraordinary. It really was. Yeah. And it's so amazing to, like you said, they are very simple ingredients, but the flavor is just beyond. Like for, I would bite into something that was just so very simple, you know, just something preserved and it just burst in my mouth and it gave more than just a palate sensation. Mm-hmm. So it's very cool. Yeah,
that's the really, one of the beautiful things about preservation and the way that we do it is you start to find these subtleties and things that, you know, maybe you've had around you for your whole life and you've never tasted it in that way. And you know, that's what preservation can do. It's, you know, it holds it in its like rawest state, but it also like gives it a depth that you might not get any other way. You know, like roasting something's great, but like putting it in a pot with rice bran and salt that's been going for 2 years and see what happens to your vegetable or your fruit. It's pretty incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so you're referring to the preservation technique. It was Nukazuke, right? Mm-hmm. That's what comes out. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So we did a Facebook Live. If you go to facebook.com/getrealtoheal, Chef Polly and I did a Facebook Live from Confluence a few weeks ago, and he showed us how to make Nukazuke through that process that he just described.
Yeah. It's a really incredible. They've had that preservation technique for thousands of years, and they hand pots down to their daughters and like keep it going for ages. So it's really, you know, beyond it being this like really amazing technique, like there's this tradition behind it that's really sweet, and every region has their own just depending on what kind of yeast is in the air. So it's just, you know, we try to make food that's real to like how we used to eat, you know. And like, yeah, there's some ingredients I use that are like a little bit out there and, you know, stuff that, you know, is not as accessible. But, you know, that's just me playing around. Like, really, we want people to walk away feeling nourished on all levels, you know, not just your body, but like you just had an experience like this is. And, you know, for me, this is coming from a place of like purity, and it's magical. And, you know, there's a lot of alchemy there, but like just really trying to care for people in the most basic ways is really something fulfilling to that I've never learned anywhere else. Food's given me like everything.
Yeah. There was an expression. So the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, where I studied, they, you know, the founder said food changes everything. And we also talked a lot about the energetics of food and the energy that you put into it when you prepare and how that can change it, change the experience of eating it, can change the flavor, you know, it can change a lot of things. And I love that everything that you make at Confluence Kombucha is touched, you know, like it's loved.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Yeah, you know, some people are like, you never wear gloves. I'm like, no, that's not how people serve food at their house. Or like, you know, like I get it in some instances, like that's important. But like, for me, what's important is that we do touch everything and we're with it, you know, in every part of the process. And, you know, I can notice some days when I'm not as happy as others. I can look at my dishes and be like, nah, that's a little, you know, that's not as, it's not as happy
this,
as.
This dish is not as joyous as yesterday's dishes were, but
it's still,
know,
it's still,
but it's still good.
It's still there. But, yeah. You know, like when you do something like that over and over and over day in and day out, like you do notice those subtleties in your, in maybe your deepest emotions, you know, and like, that's what it is for me. Like food is emotional. And it should be for people. I don't think it should be like, oh, I just got to go to, you know, I got to go to Quick Trip and get a pizza or something. Like, I get it. People have busy lives, but, you know, it's really important that people take care of themselves.
Number one, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I know in my healing journey as well, it's been the same thing. And I can't stress enough to people when I talk with them, like how important the investment of, you know, money and time in your food. I mean, that's what our body is rebuilding with every day. So if we're not putting good food in, we're not going to have a good quality body, right? It's
right.
Just at a cellular level, it just makes sense.
Right. And, you know, there's so much we can live with as humans. You know, we just don't even know until, you know, maybe it's too late.
Or
you have an
machines.
Incident like, yeah, we have an incident like I did. You know, I could have lived with that forever and never found kombucha or any of this. And, you know, I drive by that restaurant pretty regularly and I bless it. You know, I think about like how much joy it's given me out of that incident and like how many people I've touched out of that. And, you know, I used to be really upset with that space. And because, I mean, like it was really bad, you know, but, you know, when I changed that mindset, you know, other doors open, you know, there was like this white light that you could walk towards. And it was, you know, I feel like in this journey, like this was something that was written before I showed up, you know, really just, you know, 20 years of ulcers will change a person.
Absolutely. I feel you on that.
And there's a lot of people out there living with the same thing that I did.
Yeah.
And come in and try some kombucha. It'll change your life. I promise.
It's good for you. It's very good for you. So, well, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. This has been Amanda LaPlante, and you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. This is Amanda LaPlante of Get Real to Heal. You are listening to KWRHLP 92.9 FM, your community radio station in Webster Groves, Missouri.
This program is underwritten by Diversified Health and Wellness Center, located at 11042 Manchester Road in Kirkwood, and online at diversifiedhwc.com. We are a network of dedicated professionals providing a diverse array of integrated health and wellness services. Our goal is to help our clients find complete health solutions for body, mind, and spirit.
This is Amanda LaPlante. Listen to my show, Get Real to Heal, every Monday morning at 9:30 and every Friday morning at 9:30 here on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. And we're back with Chef William Thomas Pauly of Confluence Kombucha.
Welcome back, y'all.
So, Chef Pauly, I wanted to talk with you a little bit about what makes your kombucha different.
So, in our process, I've been doing it the same way from the beginning. We used 2.5-gallon glass jars. And I really think it's important that kombucha is prepared in glass as opposed to stainless steel or plastic.
And why is that? Now, plastic makes sense. I get that immediately. But tell me about the difference between.
I mean, a lot of people say it's all right to ferment in stainless, and a lot of wine is done like that. I just think on a cellular level, the energy for me is a little bit different. You know, it's non-reactive. But at some level, I believe it is. You know, glass is completely inert. So So we do everything by hand. If, you know, we say there's golden berries or tomatoes in the kombucha, like we smash them by hand. We put them in there. Our pineapple turmeric is one of our best flavors. People really love it. And when I first started thinking about it, it wasn't about the health benefits as much as it was about taste. Because, you know, being a chef, it's all about taste, you know, taste, texture, salty, sweet, bitter, you know, those are all like the parameters. The kombucha, it's a little bit different because you don't have texture, you know, except for a little bit, I guess, with the carbonation, you can like make it a little bit flatter, a little bit more bright with more carbonation, but not like eating kale or something like that. So, but you know, taking those ideas from food and applying them to kombucha is really kind of where our flavors shine, because the pineapple turmeric, it's fresh pineapples, it's fresh turmeric, and then we toast the peppercorns that go in there. And that was actually the last component, because the pineapple turmeric was really great on its own. And then we started talking about it, and I started learning more about turmeric, and it needs pepper to activate
the curcumin.
Yep. Yeah. So I started using black pepper, and it was good. And then, you know, I just started tinkering with it, and I started using white pepper. And it really kind of takes it to a whole new level, because you're like, this is something that's familiar, but it's I don't know what it is exactly. If you know, and if you've never really had white pepper, like it's a really distinct flavor. Yeah. And that really kind of, you know, thinking back on it, you know, it really like solidified that flavor in a way that like people know it now. Like people are continuously asking for it. And I haven't put it on at the tap room in a while, because soon it's going to be out on the streets. And like, that's where I kind of want that to be, is like people can access that all the time, you know, around the city.
I'm so excited for that. That is so great.
That was one of the first ones I started thinking about more, the medicinal properties of what I was putting in each batch. And so now we really do have like a really sophisticated, distinct medicinal line that we really spend a lot of time and intention on doing. Not only does it taste great, but we're putting herbs together that really have a synergy between them. Some of them are pain relieving. We have one that's a blood purifier, and we have one that's directed more towards sleep. So it's mugwort and valerian. So we're spending a lot of time thinking about how this beverage can really affect people in a lot of different ways, because I think that's what kombucha wants right now. In the big industry right now, it's about taste, and that's important that it tastes good. But I think there's so much more that can be done with it, and there's so much more that I wanna explore in it.
Yeah, and I think it's a transition that we're making as a society in general, to where, you know, we've all been about taste for a long time, and now we're starting to see food as medicine, but we still need to bring people into that. You know, it still has to taste good as they're transitioning. And then, you know, of course, it can still taste absolutely amazing, but then have these even bigger, I want to say it's like more of a pop in the palate. And it's that bitter medicinal herb type taste sometimes can be a turnoff for people. Is that something that you're kind of tuning in on and trying to fine tune to where you can get the really good medicinal benefits and still have it taste good?
Yeah, I mean, that really comes with like ratios, really. And that's all cooking really is, usually. If you can find that ratio, you can reproduce it over and over and over. And the thing I really love about using herbs in the kombucha is like they're so pure. It's like doing like a cold extraction with like cold water. You really get like that really deep flavor of them, because the acid in the kombucha kind of really pulls that out of it and infuses it right into the brew. And, you know, some of ours do have that medicinal flavor, like the mugwort valerian is very medicinal, but people love it because it's like nothing they've ever had before, but also maybe be a little familiar. So that's kind of what we're trying to go for. We're trying to bridge that gap for people, because people know what kombucha is now, and more so than when I started. I mean, still when I go out, there's like 60% of people that don't know. When I used to go out, it was like 80%, 90%. So it is coming around. And I love being an advocate for this beverage, because it has given me so much joy and added so much to my life. And I really believe that it can help each person it touches. So,
yeah. Well, and I love, so You've got some really just such interesting ingredients. Can you tell everybody about the silver needle tea? That I found that very fascinating.
Yeah, so another one of our lines is just different kinds of teas, because I think education in that is just as important as educating about kombucha. The silver needle is the buds of the tea plant. So they pick them right in the early spring. It's like 2 days of the year that they pick these. They set them out in the sun. And then we use that to make our kombucha. And then we just ferment that perfectly to a right pH. And then we keg that just plain. We don't put anything in it because it doesn't really need anything. It really holds that space of early spring, and like it's kind of feels like a calm pond in a way. It's one of those ones that like it kind of gives you like a poetic experience, and more so than maybe some of my other ones that are like more just like about taste, you know. And like I think it's important that people know that there's like so much tea out there. Like there's thousands of different kinds from all different places, and it's only one plant, you know, and it depends on where it grows, how it produces. So it's really incredible. And besides water, tea is the most consumed beverage on the planet. So
yeah, I mean, it's you know, so I don't know if I've told you the story, but my husband chewed tobacco for many, many years. And he finally quit this past year. As we figured out, so as a health coach, you know, I was determined to help him figure out, like, what is it that we need to replace here to get this to work for you? For him, it was the stimulant effect and a little bit of relaxation, but he ended up replacing it with tea.
Wow.
So now he's happily addicted to tea, and I'm okay with that one. That is cool. He can be addicted to tea all he wants. Now I'm working on the kombucha with him. So baby steps.
Yeah, bring him in. I love to share space with him.
Amazing. Yeah. So, and you have so many other awesome, you know, just your food menu is amazing too. We could talk about kombucha all day long, and we could also talk about the food all day long. So I'd love to have you back and we'll talk some more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love that.
Yeah. I want to touch on though, you know, we mentioned in the first half, you know, about your experience in Korea when you were there. Can you tell us a little bit more about how your experience there shaped your perception of the way that we're educated on nutrition here in America?
Oh, wow.
Big question.
Yeah. It's, so it really started with all my students and like just getting to know them. And cause I taught English while I was there, and just realizing like how much they knew about their bodies and like how, their specific types of food affected them. Because I mean, Korean food culture is like, it's really intense. It's so beautiful. And because I mean, like really, when I talk to Korean people, like a third of the time we're talking about food. It's like that important. And so my Korean was really good in the kitchen and like in the restaurant. It was like anywhere that I could thrive, like that was it. And so my whole experience there was just wrapped up in food. I mean, it was like every day it was like a new place to go or a new thing to try. And everything's fermented in some way, just about like, they come out with like all these banchan, all these like side dishes, and they're all different ferments. And, you know, I noticed a difference in my life just like 3-4 months in just eating those foods. Like some of the stuff I was like, I don't know about that. But after a while, like I understood it. And
well, it's great because now what we're starting to catch on to in America, and science has helped, you know, on being able to study on a nano level. Over the last, you know, decade or so, it's really come a long way, but being able to understand the microbiome and fermentation and how that contributes to the microbiome and our gut health and all these things that are tied up in that, like everything starts in the gut.
Yeah.
So yeah. 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 All that fermented food is great for mood, skin, everything. It all starts in the gut.
Yeah. Memory. Yeah.
All starts there. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's all we think about at Confluence is your gut. So
totally. Yeah. And it's like we were talking about at one point in the kitchen, you said, you know, it's kind of my way of being a rebel, because being healthy and eating healthy is kind of a rebellious act, or, you know, it's becoming less so now. I think people are catching on to the importance, but it has been a pretty rebellious thing for a while now in America.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the status quo is being moved in a different direction. And I'm really happy to be paddling that wave with people like you and other people in our community that are educating and advocating for different lifestyles. Because, you know, you can't eat a candy bar for lunch every day and not think you're going to be healthy when you're 60, because it's not going to happen.
Truth. Truth. Well, I'm really happy to be on this journey together with you as well. And thank you so much for coming in today, Chef William Pauly.
Oh, thank you. This was so incredible. And yeah, hope to be back sometime.
Yeah,
so, talk about the food. And
yeah, definitely. I would love to have you back. And could you let everyone know where they can find you and how they can get more information?
Absolutely. So we're in the Grove. The address is 4507 Manchester. We're at Taylor in Manchester. We share a building with the Urban Chestnut Research Brewery. We're right under the Grove sign, and it says kombucha right in the window, so you can't miss us.
Awesome. So this is Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. For more information about my health coaching services or to contact me, find me online at getrealtoheal.net or on Facebook at Get Real to Heal.